This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay. Baruch Mabam, welcome everyone to the our weekly shir, Agra DePirka, hosted by the Agra DePirka of Kew Garden Hills and Reb Ezra Klein. Welcome everybody. This shir you could be heard afterwards on TorahAnytime.com on podcast. And we want to remind the Olam Bezos Hashem today at 5:30. We continue our shir on the Igeres Hagra, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Thursday at 2:30, we have a shir on the Melachos of Shabbos with the Shimru. All the shirim, as we mentioned, are now on podcast. They could be heard on Shas Illuminated as well. And Bezos Hashem, this coming Thursday night will be a monthly shir that is available exclusively on Shas Illuminated. Thursday night is Asara B'Teves. It's also Nitol Nacht. So the subject this Thursday night, aside from questions and answers on any subject, the subject will be the history and mystery of Leil Nitol. All of the various shiurim and venues are available on our website, rabbidg.com. Where everything is consolidated. In fact, if you want to zoom in to any shir, you could just go to the website and click, and you're right there. Okay, so Parshas Vayigash. Vayigash, we have one of the most dramatic narratives and episodes in the entire Chumash, in the whole Tanakh. The reunion of Yosef and his brothers, revelation of Yosef to his brothers. Vayomer Yosef el Achav. Yosef tells his brothers, Ani Yosef, it's me, I'm him. Remember the guy you sold to Egypt? You didn't want him to be a king over you? If I could ask everyone on the phone to mute, please, thank you. Remember me, Yosef says? Well, I'm the king of Egypt. Ha'oid avichai? Is dad still alive? Is our father still alive? V'lo yachlu echav lano yisaysay. His brothers could not respond to him. Ki nivhalu mipanav. They were astounded. They were shattered. They were frightened. The brothers had nothing to answer. They could not respond. This is Yosef. We thought we threw him in the pit. We thought he was consumed by the snakes and the scorpions. We thought that was the end of him. We thought we put an end to his dream. And here he is, king of viceroy of Egypt. The brothers couldn't respond. And there is a very well-known medrash that when Yosef cried, the famous comments of Abba Kohen Bardala Omar, Oy lanu miyoyim adin, oy lanu miyoyim atoichecha, woe to us from the day of judgment. Woe to us from the day of rebuke. If this was the reaction of the brothers to the remonstration and the simple comment of their brother. If this is how this was the response of the brothers when faced with the clear reality that this is Yosef, then all the more so will we be nivhalu, will we be unresponsive on the Yom HaDin when God will reprimand us. It says the Medrash, Yosef ketanon shel shvatim haya. Yosef was the youngest of all the Shvatim. They could not stand up to his rebuke. They were older than him. Says Abba Kohen Bardolach, L'chsheyavei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When God will come, V'yoychiach kalecha v'yachar, and reprimand each and every one, L'fima shehu, Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Oichichacha ve'ercha leinecha, I will reprimand you and I will set forth before your eyes, Alachas kama v'kama. If the brothers cannot respond to Yosef, then what will be with us when God will say to us, no, what do you do with the life that I gave you? But it's interesting, what exactly was the great rebuke that Yosef gave the brothers? Did he in fact rebuke them? He just presented them with the reality. The reality was that Am Yosef, Ha'oid Avichai. He didn't reprimand them, he didn't rebuke them. What exactly was the big rebuke of Yosef HaTzadik? So, in the Shal Sechuas Binyan Shloima, Rav Shloima HaKohen Mivilna, he brings down from his brother, I believe Rabbi Tzalel HaKoyin Mivilna, who explained the meaning of the Medrash. What does the Medrash mean? Woe to us on the day of judgment. Woe to us on the day of rebuke. And he cites the Gemara that the Gemara tells us in Masechta Nazir and Daf Chav Gimel. The Gemara tells us about a nice gentleman who had in mind to eat McDonald's. He always wanted to eat McDonald's. And he ordered McDonald's. And he took a bite out of the hamburger. And he looked at the label. And Uber Eats made a mistake. Instead of bringing to him from McDonald's, they brought to him from Kosher Delight, Olav HaShalom. Right? And it turned out that he didn't eat a chazer treif. He ate the double burger from Kosher Delight. So he didn't do anything wrong. And yet the Gemara tells us that someone who's niskavin lecho basar chazir va'ola biyadoi basar tleh nevertheless needs a kapara, needs atonement. The Gemara learns out from the pasuk, isha haferam v'ashem yislachla. Let's say you have a woman and she takes a neder. She took a neder. She's never going to buy another pair of shoes again. She said, I have enough shoes. I'm never going to buy a pair of shoes again. And then a few minutes later, she develops an irresistible urge to buy another pair of shoes. Lo and behold, the husband knows his wife very well. And after he hears his wife make a neder, she's not going to buy another pair of shoes, he is mefer her neder. Unbeknownst to her, her neder's off. Minutes later, she buys another pair of shoes. The Torah says, Isha hafiram v'asham yislachla. Even though the husband was made for the neder, she still needs kapara. Why? Because as far as she is concerned, she violated her neder. Even though, in fact, in reality, the neder was off and she didn't violate anything, but she thought she was violating her neder. And therefore, she needs kapara because she thought she was violating her neder. Says the Shal Sechus Binyan Shloima in the name of his brother. This is analogous to the case of the brothers of Yosef. Because even though the brothers of Yosef, in reality, they didn't do anything wrong. Nothing happened. There was no harm done. Think about what they did. All they did was they promoted their brother to be the viceroy of Egypt. Yosef is second command in the world. He's basically running the world's economy. He's controlling the entire civilized world. So, and the brothers did that to him. So great, they did him a very big favor. So what was wrong with what the brothers did? Oh, what was wrong with what they did? Yosef tells them next week. V'yatem chashavtem alai ra'a Elohim chashava l'toiva l'man asois kayem hazalacha Yosef rav. Yosef says, you thought to do bad to me. You wanted to harm me. You wanted me to get eaten and bitten by the snakes and scorpions. You wanted me to be carried off to a foreign land and to wallow in some dungeon somewhere. That's what your intention was. But God had other intentions and he turned it around. So you didn't do anything wrong. The result was wonderful. In fact, the fact that Yosef's the viceroy of Egypt, he saved the Jewish people. He was able to provide for them in time of famine and give them lodging and give them sustenance. So in terms of the outcome, it was very good. But that was not the brothers' intention. They tried to inflict harm on him. So says Rabbi Tzalel HaKoyin Mivilna that the Kal V'Chomer of Abba Koyin Bardala is as follows. If when brothers, in reality, they didn't do anything wrong, the outcome was good, but nevertheless, they were so stunned and ashamed and embarrassed, they couldn't open up their mouth. Why? Because they had bad intentions. Alachas kama v'kama. If somebody thinks to do an avera, has intentions of doing an avera, and they do an avera, alachas kama v'kama, we will have no response. We will not be able to speak back. We will not be able to say anything when the Rebbeinu Shlom says, you thought you were eating McDonald's and you did? What are you going to say now? You thought you were speaking during Chazar Sashatz, and you did? What are you going to say now? You thought you were lying, and you did? What are you going to say now? In other words, the Kavachorim is as follows. If, in the case of the brothers, they were niskavein lecho basar chazir v'ola biyadoi basar tle, they intended to eat pig, and they ate kosher delight, they intended to harm Yosef, and they didn't. And even so, they had no response to their father. We, alachas kama v'kama, when we intend to sin, and we do sin, and God's going to say, Rabbiid, what did you do? We will have no response. Now, what is so interesting is that what we're learning is that if a person intends to do an Avera and does not do an Avera, they need Kapara. And that is learned from the Pasuk in Matos. V'yim hafer yafer oisam ishach b'yayim shamayi kal ma'itzas sefaseh halindar elu isan ashal ayakam ishach haferam. Vashem yislach la, her husband will be made for the nether and God will atone for her. Who remembers? Who was very... Rabbi Moskowitz, there's an echo on the phone, so maybe we have to mute it or there's something we could do? Who remembers that when they got up to this pasuk, would be very emotional and would cry? Hello, could you hear me? Okay.
Yes. Rabbi Akiva, I think.
No, not on the phone. So the Gemara tells us in Masech Danazir, Tanu Rabbanan, number 6, Isha Hafiram Hashem Yusachla. We're talking about a woman who her husband was made for her nether and she didn't know, and she needs kapara. Says the Gemara, Shahaya Magia Rabbi Akiva Itzal Pasuk Zeh Haya Boicha. When the great Rabbi Akiva got up to this pasuk, he would cry. Why? He would say as follows, Uma Mishanis Gavein Lalois Biyadei Basar Chazir V'Ala Biyadei Basar Tle Ton Kapara. If somebody who had in mind to eat kosher meat and ate treif meat needs atonement, hamiskavein lalois biyadei basar chazir, someone who intends to eat treif, and he eats treif, alachas kama v'kama. And the question is, why dafka Rabbi Akiva? Why was it Rabbi Akiva was the one who always cried when he got to this pasuk? Why not Rav Tarfon? Why not Rav Shimon Gamliel? Why not Rav Yehoshua? Why not Rav Elazar ben Azariah? Says the holy Rav Yosef Engel. He brings from the Sefer Beis Shmuel, Achron al Torah Parshas Pinchas, in the name of the Nezer HaKodesh. You know why Rabbi Akiva would cry? Because the Zohar HaKodesh and the Ari teach that the Asara Haruge Malchus were a Gilgal of the 10 Shvatim that sold Yosef. And Yosef told them, Atem chashavtem olai l'ra Elohim chashava l'toiva. Yosef said, you had bad intentions, but God turned it around. Yosef deemed the act of his brothers, Niskavein lechol, basar chazir v'ola b'yadei basar tle. Now, of all the Asara Harugei Malchus, who faced the most painful and torturous death? Rabbi Akiva. They raked his flesh with iron combs. Why Rabbi Akiva? Well, the Zohar and the Ari teach Rabbi Akiva was a Gilgal of Shimon, the main perpetrator of the Mechiras Yosef. And therefore Rabbi Akiva bared the brunt of the Mechiras Yosef. And therefore Rabbi, and what is Mechiras Yosef? It is reckoned as, Yosef says, Atem chashavtem alai l'ra, elokim chashav l'toiva. Mechiras Yosef is Mishin eskavin lecho basar chazir va'ola biyadei basar tle. So if Mechiras Yosef is a scenario of someone who intends to sin and doesn't, who would certainly be so pained reading that there is severe repercussions and punishment for ola biyadei basar for chashva lecha basar chazir, miskavein lalois biyadei basar chazir, va'ala biyadei basar tle? None other than Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva, the Gilgal of Shemayin, was most responsible for Mechiras Yosef. So that's an amazing pshat quoted by Rabbi Yosef Engel of why Rabbi Akiva was so taken and so pained, and this pasuk was something that really resonated and pained Rabbi Akiva more than any of the other Tanoim. But let's discuss this subject briefly. The idea that one needs kapara not only for doing an avera, but one needs kapara for thinking they're doing an avera, even if in fact they did not. The Gemara tells us a story in Masechta Kedushin Daf Lamed Beis. Rabba Bar Rav Huna wanted to test his son. Wanted to test his son Rabba. So Rav Huna took Rabba's silk garment and he ripped it in front of him. So Rav Huna took Rabba, his son's favorite suit or jersey, and he said, "Zah!" He just tore it in front of him. He wanted to see, will he get angry, will he not get angry? Says Gemara, but how is he allowed to do that? Maybe he'll get angry, and the father will be causing his son to get angry, and he'll be oiver lefnei iver leisitei mechshel. So the Gemara says, no, he's not going to be oiver lefnei iver, because if his son gets angry, Rav Huna will be meichel him. So his son will not have done an avera. The Gemara asks, the son will have violated Baal Tashchis. No, he's going to rip it on the hem and he could sew it back together. So Tosis asks, wait a second. Tosis asks, if it's very nice that Rav Huna will not be over lefnei iver leisitei mechshel because Rabba will not have done an avera for getting angry because Rabba was meichel him. Rav Huna was meichel him. The father was meichel him. But Rabba the son doesn't know that his father was meichel him. So even though if he insults his father, he will not have been doing an avera because his father was meichel him, but he doesn't know his father was meichel him. So this is analogous to Neskavein Lechal Basar Chazir Va'ala B'yadoi Basar Tle. You intend to do an avera, and in fact, you didn't do an avera. So here the son, now this is amazing. The son intended to get angry, but it will not have been sinful for him to get angry because his father was meichel him. So in that case, the question is that a problem? And Tosis is mechadesh, that if the son does not know the father was meichel him, the son will have done a crime for getting angry. And Tosis is therefore forced to say, the father told the son, kid, if you get angry, I will be meichel you. So this way, the son is not, even, not only is he not doing an avera, he's not doing something that he thinks is an avera. Now, we see an even added chiddush. Because Tosis's question is, not how could the son get angry, how is the father allowed to cause the son to get angry? What do you mean? The father is meichel him. Yeah, but the father is causing the son to do something that the son thinks is wrong. So Tosis is saying an even bigger chiddush. You're not allowed to cause someone to do an avera, which is lefnei iver leisitei mechshel, you're not allowed to cause somebody to do something that they think is an avera, even though in reality it's not an avera. I know you're wondering, how come the rabbi didn't mention Rav Meir yet? Okay, so I know that was on your mind. So there's an interesting Gemara that I was saying over at the table on Shabbos, that maybe that was my mistake, but the Gemara says that Rav Meir ran away because they were trying to kill him for freeing his sister-in-law, or because he was embarrassed that his wife committed suicide. Yeah, that's right. This is not in the Sefer. The Sefer is for a general audience, but the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah that Rav Meir's wife committed suicide. Why did she commit suicide? Because Rav Meir gave a shir, Noshim Daitan Kalois. And what that means, I'm not going to explain right now. And Rav Bruria did not like that. Bruria said, what are you talking about? I'm not Daiti Kala. So Rav Meir's student wanted to prove that Nashim Daitan Kalos, so he tried to convince Bruria to be Mizana with him. So there's a question. Even though he wasn't going to do it, but how can you... You can't cause somebody to do... Not only can't you cause someone to do an aver, you can't cause someone to do something that they think is wrong. So Tosfos kashes, how could Rav Huna try to elicit Rabbah to get angry, even though Rav Huna is Moichel Rabbah, but Rabbah doesn't know that, and Tosfos is forced to say he told Rabbah. And based on this Tosfos, there are a number of very interesting chidushim in the tshuvas of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. In the Minchas Shloimeh, Siman Lamed Hey, he talks about the following case. A woman whose husband is in the city is not oiver yichud if she goes into seclusion with a man. However, what if the husband is in the city, but the woman made a mistake and the woman thinks he left the city? Can Reuven go into seclusion with Sprinza when Reuven knows that Sprinza's husband is in the city and therefore maybe as far as he's concerned it's not yichud, but as far as she thinks the scenario is, it is yichud. You got the case? Sprinza's husband is next door. So Sprinza's allowed to go into yichud. The only thing is Sprinza doesn't know her husband's next door. She thinks her husband is in Dubai. And so as far as she's concerned, she's not allowed to go into yichud. Can Reuven go into yichud with Sprinza? So first, Rav Shlomo Zalman says that regarding Reuven, he can't go into yichud with her, because just because she might be afraid of her husband, he is not afraid of her husband, and the heter of the heter does not work if she doesn't know about it, because it doesn't work for him. Because there's no heter of Bailo Ima only regarding her, not legabe him, and she doesn't know about it. But then Rav Shlomo Zalman says a bigger chiddush. Even if Bailo Be'ir does work legabe the man who goes into Yichud, he still can't go into Yichud with her. Because since she doesn't know that her husband's in the city, she thinks she's doing an aver of yichud. And if you're bringing her into the room, you're oiver lifnei iver loisitein michshal on the avera of miskavein lecho basar chazir va'ola biyadai basar tled. And she's not doing anything wrong because her husband's in the city. But she doesn't know that. So you're not allowed to cause somebody to do something that they think is an avera. You hear that? You with me, everyone? Everyone good today? Everyone in a good mood? Everyone looking forward to...
Yes.
Yaakov says yes. Yaakov says everyone's in a good mood. There you have it.
Of course. You understand, you know, she
has a... thank you. So, Rav Shlomo Zalman is mechadesh that you cannot cause somebody to do something that they think is an avera. Next case. Let's say you want to go to a restaurant. Let's say you want to go to Sushi Mitsuyan. Yeah? And I don't want to pick a name. Let's pick a name. We're going to call it Sushi Delight, because nobody used that name yet. And if you want to use that name, I just patented it now, so you're going to have to get, I have the copyright on that name. But you go to Sushi Mitsuyan, and you go there, and you say, is there a hechsher? And the answer is they're under the vad, but because they're a new store, they didn't put up the sign yet. Are you allowed to eat in that store? No, because you don't know that it's kosher. Can an owner of a store open up a kosher store and not put up the kosher symbol, not put up the paper from the vad? Because what he's going to be doing is he's going to be causing people to eat in a store when they're not allowed to eat there because they don't know for sure that it's kosher. So in other words, the food is kosher. He's serving 100% kosher food, but the people are not allowed to eat there until they verify the kosher certificate. So what you're causing people to do is you're causing them to violate Niskavein biyadai, Niskavein lecha basar chazir v'ala biyadai basar tle. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no, one may not give food to people. If you give food to people where the mekabel needs to ask, is it kosher or not, or is Trumas and Maisos taken off, the Noisein has to say, yes, it is kosher, because if he just gives it to them and they're going to eat it, and they were not allowed to just rely on you that it's good, they needed to do their due diligence. If you're going to cause them to eat it without them finding out about the kosherness of the food, you're violating l'fneiver l'isitein michshal on the isser of niskavein biyadei lechal, niskavein lechal basar chazir v'ala biyadei basar tleh. Or let's say another situation. A man comes into a room with a woman, and the woman knows there's a back door, so it's not yichud, but the man doesn't know. The woman is oiver and iser drabanan of being misyached with him, even though it's in reality not yichud, because he doesn't know it's not yichud. So she's causing him to violate something which he thinks is navira, even though in reality it's not navira. Now there's a very interesting chakira. This avira of causing someone to do something that they think is wrong, in reality it's not wrong, what avira is it? For example, when the person eats the basar tleh, he eats the kosher delight, but he thought it was McDonald's, is he getting somewhat of a quasi avira of eating McDonald's? Or is it that, no, of course he's not getting an avera for eating McDonald's, it's kosher delight. But he's getting a sin of lack of fear of God. Because if he feared God, he never would have attempted to eat something that he thinks is treif. So you'll say, of course, you can't say the person gets that sin. You can't say that if a man goes into yichud with a woman, or a woman goes into yichud and she doesn't know her husband is there, she's over yichud. Maybe she's showing a lack of fear of God, but she's not over yichud. But the Maharit al-Ghazi, it's quoted in the Biurim V'Yunim of Rav Binyamin Luban, Shlita, the Rosh Hashiva of Yeshiva Taras Chaim in Miami. He brings the Maharit al-Ghazi, who says, what about the following scenario? A woman was mezaneh. A woman who was married was mezaneh. Or at least that's what she thought. She thought she was mezaneh. Turned out her husband was dead. So she was mezaneh December 21st, and lo and behold, she didn't wake up her husband a few days before. She figured he overslept a few days, and turned out he's been dead since last Thursday night. So, okay, fine, very nice. Actually, it's not so nice, but she wasn't mezaneh. We know that halacha is if a woman was mezaneh, she's usher to the bayal. But this woman wasn't mezaneh because her husband was dead. Marid al-Ghazi says she's still usher to the bayal. Because since she thought she was doing an avera, the iser bayal applies whether you do an avera or even if you think you're doing an avera. So that seems to indicate that the iser of Meskavein lecha basar chazir v'ala b'yadai basar tleh is not just a lack of fear of God. You get the isra of eating basar chazir. You get the isra of znos. So now we come to the main subject of today's share. And that is the mysterious comments of the Arachayim HaKadosh and Parshas Vayechi, where Yosef says to his brothers, Atem chashavtem alai ra, Elohim chashav ala toiva. You thought you were doing something bad. God considered it good. Okay. We already saw from Rav Bezalel HaKohen Mivilna that the brothers had no response because they did an avera. They tried to harm Yosef, and nothing bad happened. But still, they had no response for their intention. But the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says that Yosef is telling the brothers, Elokim chashav l'toiva. V'hareza doyme. You know what this is similar to? This is similar to l'meskavin l'hashkas chaver kois maves. You had in mind to poison your friend. You poured him a cup of, arsenic, gasoline, Coca-Cola, any of those three poisonous substances. Veshkeo koisayin, it turned out it was delicious. It was wine. Says Aruch Chaim, Sheinim is chayiv klum. You're not chayiv anything. You have no responsibilities. Vare heim pturim. Vizakoim, gamadin ishmael. Even from the account of heaven, even in the eyes of God, you are pater v'yashar, you are clean, you have a clean slate, you did nothing wrong, you are not accountable, not to Bnei Adam, and not l'shamayim. And these words of Archaim HaKadosh are hafla v'fela, where Yosef is saying, you just had bad intentions against me. You're not responsible for bad intentions, like someone who tries to poison their friend, and in reality, was pouring them a cup of delicious wine, who their pater midine shamayim. What in the world is Aruch Chaim HaKadosh talking about? That if you pour poison to your, if you think you're pouring poison to your friend, and you in reality poured wine, your pater. We just got through saying a whole shiur about that. Not only is there a sin for committing a sin, but even if you intend to sin, that alone is sinful. That needs kapar. What happened to Isha HaFeirah Hashem Yislachla? The woman thought she was violating an eder, and she needs kapara because she thought what she was doing in Avera, even though her husband was made for it. What happened to the woman who's you're causing to violate Yichud because she doesn't know her husband is in town? What about the person who you're now to give food to, who doesn't know that there's a good hechsher? What about the son who doesn't know that you are meichelim? You can't get him angry. So what's Yosef telling the brothers? It doesn't matter that you intended to harm me. But we know the halacha is that if you try to harm somebody, if you try to do an avera, and in reality it's not avera, you still need kapara. What's Aruch Chaim HaKadosh saying? It's analogous to somebody who tries to poison their friend and in reality gave them wine. That person is pater. Wouldn't we say that person is chayiv because isha hafeiram v'ashem yislachla? Everyone and their third cousin asked this question on the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. What exactly is Yosef assaging the brothers? Don't worry, you just had bad intentions. Bad intentions are very serious. You're not even allowed to cause someone else to have bad intentions, let alone have bad intentions yourself. And in the footnote on the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, it's written, V'harbe diyoy nishbach liyashev divrei rabbeinu. Much ink has been spilled to try to answer the words of the holy Aruch Chaim HaKadosh.
Rabbi, but in this case with Yosef, doesn't he actually say to the brothers that, you know, you had your intentions, but we knew that Hashem sent me down here for a purpose, and in the end result. So it doesn't matter about their intentions, because Hashem was the one that set all this up so that Yosef could help out Bnei Israel in the end. It was Hashem. Yad Hashem did this, and he acknowledges this.
Okay, still, but the brothers still are accountable for their evil thoughts. I mean, we learned that if someone has bad thoughts, even though Hashem frustrates the result, you're still accountable for not only your bad actions, but your bad plans. So the brothers, while in reality God was planning for good, the brothers had devious thoughts. Why are they not accountable for that? That's the question we're going to try to answer this morning. We're going to offer a number of possibilities. So the Shas HaTshuvos Beis Yitzchak of Rav Yitzchak Shmelkes, he brings this Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, and he says, Hadvarim Tmuim, because Niskavin Lecha Basar Chazir V'Ala B'Yazah Basar Tleh, you need Kapara. Well, says the Shal Shishuz Beis Yitzchak, there's a very big difference between someone who intended to eat McDonald's and ate kosher delight, and the brothers who tried to kill Yosef and sold him to Mitzrayim. What's the difference? When you intend to eat McDonald's, what's the result? The result was you ate kosher delight. As delicious as kosher delight is, and as well-priced as it was, there is no mitzvah in the Torah to eat kosher delight. Even if you intended to eat Burger King, and instead Hashem brought you Carlos and Gabby's, nevertheless, there is no mitzvah in the Torah to eat Carlos and Gabby's. So therefore, since the result was discretionary and the intention was evil, you need kapara for your bad thoughts. But in the case of the brothers, their intention was devious, but the result was not discretionary, the result was positive. So since the result was positive, then they're not, that sort of cancels out the devious intention. Meaning when the result is neutral, you wanted to eat pig and instead you ate a kosher burger, there's no mitzvah in the Torah to eat a kosher burger, so all we're left with is intentions, the intentions were evil, and therefore you're accountable. But if the result was positive, namely in this case, the result was that Yosef was sold down and became the viceroy of Egypt, and he's controlling the world economy, he's protecting the Jewish people. So then that, in other words, the means, the ends justify the means. The ends justify the means. Since the result was good, you're right, you shouldn't have had bad intentions, but you were sort of saved by the bell, saved by the viceroy. And says the Beis Yitzchak, according to this, this would explain the following very difficult psak of the Lavush. Now, I tell you the truth, I'm afraid to say the Lavush publicly. All right, fine, I'll say it. This is quite a provocative case. Here you have a guy. He wants to have an extramarital relation. Now the wife gets wind of it. So the wife says she has a great idea. She'll dress up as a zayna, make him think that he's being mezana. He'll get it off his, get it out of his system, and then everything will be fine. Is she allowed to do that? You'd say, how could she do that? She's causing him to do something that he thinks is an avera. Isha hafeiram v'Hashem yisachla, says Lavush, it's permitted. Why? Because when you think you're eating McDonald's, at the end of the day, okay, you ate a kosher burger, there's no mitzvah to eat a kosher burger, but there is a mitzvah to live with your wife. So even though he thinks that he thinks he's living with an Eish HaSish, but at the end of the day, he's doing a mitzvah. He's living with his wife. So the Lavush paskins, it's mutter. And the Beis Yitzchak says, the logic of that is that if the ends are a mitzvah, then it justifies the means. Another answer the Beis Yitzchak gives, and I didn't say this over in the past, Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, we know Yom Kippur is not Mechaper. But what if I'm not violating Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, I just plan to violate Bein Adam L'Chaveroi? Then Yom Kippur is Mechaper. Yom Kippur is Mechaper on an Avera you plan to do to your friend. So what Yosef is telling to the brothers is, look, you didn't do anything bad to me. You plan to do something bad to me? Not a problem. Yom Kippur will take care of that. That's what Yosef meant. Your pater bidine shamayim. Third approach, the Pardes Yosef and Parshas Vayechi. Do you know when your person is accountable for having bad intentions? That's if they were planning to eat a cheeseburger and it turned out to be kosher delight. But what if, in their minds, even though what they were doing God would consider an avera, but in their minds what they're doing is not an avera? For example, what? The brothers. Did the brothers really think that they were trying to kill Yosef in cold-blooded murder? And they were trying to kill him? The brothers didn't think and plan to do what they thought was an avera. In their mind, they were doing a mitzvah. They paskin that Yosef was chayiv misa. And when they sold him, they paskin that he was liable to be sold as a slave. And according to the Arachayim HaKadosh in Parshas Vayeshev, the brothers considered that they were an Eid Echad or an Eid Zoymeim because he tried to get them in trouble. And as the Svarno explains, that they held he was liable to Misab, that he was trying to kill them because either he wanted their father to curse them and they would die or they would be punished. And in their mind, they weren't eating a cheeseburger. In their mind, they were eating kosher delight. You're right. They thought they were doing something that God would consider a sin, but it's not something they thought that they... It's not something... They weren't trying to do something that they thought was a sin. So Yosef tells the brothers like this. The result was good. The intention, your intention was bad, but in your mind, you thought you were doing something good. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh's analogy is, this is analogous to someone who tries to poison their friend and he turns out he gave them wine to drink. So isn't that talking about a guy who in his mind he was doing something wrong? The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, no. The Paradis Yosef says what the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh means is that we're talking about someone who came to a halachic conclusion that his friend is liable to the death penalty and was trying to poison him in order to administer capital punishment. Now, that's a little bit doichek in Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Is that what the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh means? That this is similar to someone who tries to poison their friend? He's talking about someone who paskined in Bezdin that his friend is chayiv the death penalty. I don't think Bezdin usually kills people by poisoning them. The simple pshat in Aruch Chaim HaKadosh is that if somebody plans on poisoning their friend and they turned out to have given them wine, they're not liable to punishment. Again, which is questionable because as we learned, if someone plans to do something wrong, even if it turned out to be good, they need kapara. So we're going to explore two more options. The Arvei Nachal, Rav David Ivshitz, the author of the Levush Srad on the Magen Avram. He says as follows. Let's say somebody badmouths a worker and says, this guy, he's mamish a clumsy guy. He doesn't know his right hand from his left hand. He wants the boss to fire the guy. And the boss says, oh, the guy's a lefty? I happen to need a lefty. I was looking for a southpaw for my baseball team. Oh, thanks for letting me know. And the boss promotes him to a great position because he's a lefty. So even though the guy in between tried to harm the guy, but nevertheless, at the end of the day, he caused something good. The Arvei Nachal says that when is a person liable for bad intentions? That's Bein Adam LaMakom. Bein Adam LaMakom, a person is liable to bad intentions because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thoughts and deeds are equal. To God, action and thought is all the same. So if you had bad thought, then that's equivalent of doing a bad action. But Bein Adam LaChaveroi, your friend does not care what you're thinking because he doesn't know what you're thinking. So when it comes to Bein Adam LaChaveroi, you're right, if you try to poison your friend and you gave him wine, you're not liable. Ah, Isha Hafeiram Vashem Yisachla. A person is liable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for bad thoughts. That's if they had bad thoughts in trying to violate Bein Adam LaMokoyim. But if it's Bein Adam LaChaveiroi, that's what Yosef tells the brothers. Hasachas Alekim Anoichi. Am I in the place of God? I don't know what's doing in your heart. Your evil intentions are irrelevant, are not important, are insignificant, because evil thoughts are only problematic. You're only accountable for them in the realm of Bein Adam LaMokoyim, not in the realm of Bein Adam LaChaveiroi. I heard an answer many years ago from Rabbi Yonah's son Avner Sachs, Rashiva of Beis Medrash LeTalmud, to answer up the Sarachayim HaKadosh of why he says that Yosef tells the brothers, what did you do already? The result was good, and intentions, you're not liable for intentions. Similar to the Arvei Nachal with a little bit of a Lamdisha twist. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Brachos that you only make a bracha bein adam lamakam. You don't make a bracha bein adam lachaveray. You're about to give tzedakah. You don't say baruch atah Hashem lekem alchelam asherizom zazon al nesinas tzedakah, and then you give a guy tzedakah. Or you don't knock on the hospital door and say baruch atah Hashem lekem alchelam asherizom zazon al biker chaylam. And or you invite someone to your house. He walks in your house, you shove him out. You say, get out, 1 second. Baruch atah Hashem lekem alchelam al hachnasas orchem. Oh, now come back in. The guy said, now you threw me into the mud. I'm not coming. Now you could come in, now that I made a bracha. You don't make a bracha bein adam lachaveiroi. Why not? Why don't you make a bracha bein adam lachaveiroi? So, the Rajba writes in a tshuva that bein adam lamakam, you can make a bracha. You have a lulav, you make a bracha, you know you're going to pick it up. But if you're going to make a bracha on achnasas orchim, al achnasas orchim, he might come in, smell the cholent, and say, excuse me, I forgot, I left my hat in shul, and never come back again. You know, or, you're going to make a bracha, bein adam, biker cholem, the guy looks at you, and the guy kicks you out of the room, maybe you won't be able to be mekayim the mitzvah. So since the Rajba says, bein adam lechavero is not dependent, is not within your ability to fulfill or not to fulfill, so therefore the Rajba says you do not make a bracha on bikur chaylam, on bein adam lechavero. But Rav Shimon Zalman Orbach has another twist. Why we don't make a bracha on bein adam lechavero? Question. If somebody sits in a sukkah on Sukkos and has in mind not to be mekayim the mitzvah, so he doesn't get the mitzvah. The truth is, if somebody sits in the sukkah on Sukkos and they don't think anything, they also don't get the mitzvah. Because mitzvos trichos kavana, you need to have in mind that you're being mekayim the mitzvah of Hashem. But certainly if you have in mind not to be mekayim the mitzvah, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. What if somebody sits in a sukkah on Sukkos, has in mind not to be mekayim the mitzvah, does he get an avera of eating outside of the sukkah? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, maybe he does. Maybe if someone has negative kavana, not to eat in the sukkah, maybe it's considered as if he ate outside of the sukkah. Because since you don't get the mitzvah, it's you ate and you're not eating in the sukkah. Or what about, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, no, you can't say that, because at the end of the day, you're in a sukkah. So maybe you don't get schar for eating in a sukkah. But you're not going to get punished for eating outside of a sukkah. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, you know what it's like? Let's say you lost your keys and I returned it to you. Or I pay back a worker. Let's say like this. We know that if somebody does a job, There's a mitzvah in the Torah to pay them back on that day. Let's say you say, I'm paying you back, but I have kavana not to be mekayim the mitzvah. So you don't get the mitzvah. But do you get an avera of not paying the person back on that day? In other words, the guy gave you a haircut. You're mechuyev to pay him on that day. And you hand him the money right away, and you say, hineni muchan umezuman, hine kavanasi, not to be mekayim the mitzvah. Fine, so you don't get a mitzvah. But do you get an avera of not paying back on that day? No, you don't get an avera. You know why? Because you did the mitzvah. You did it. Because the mitzvah is not some kind of magical action of moving your hand in this direction. The mitzvah is so he should have the money on that day, and he has the money on that day. In fact, Rabbi Yosef Engel in the Asvan Dairaisa says an amazing chiddush. He says, even if we hold mitzvah strichas kavanah, which means, what's the halacha, what mitzvah does a person fulfill if they put on tefillin and they didn't think anything? The answer is, they're not mekayim any mitzvah. What mitzvah did a person fulfill if they go to shul and they said Shema and they didn't have in mind explicitly, I have kavanah to mekayim the mitzvah of Shema? What mitzvah did they do? They did the mitzvah of not speaking Lashon Hara. But they didn't get the mitzvah of saying Shema. They didn't have kavanah to say Shema. Says the Asvan Dairaisa, what mitzvah does a person do if they gave $100 to tzedakah and they didn't think anything? Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, they get the mitzvah of tzedakah. I mitzvah strichas kavanah? No. Mitzvah strichas kavanah is only bein adam la'makoim. Bein adam la'makoim you need kavanah. You know why? Because here's my lulav. You see my lulav? So it's a special supernatural act of lifting up the lulav. If I am not thinking, I am fulfilling the mitzvah of God, I didn't do anything. But if I pull money out of my wallet and I give the ani $20 and I say, here, and I have in mind, I don't have anything in mind. I don't have in mind to mekayim a mitzvah. I get the mitzvah anyway. You know why? Because the ani could take the $20, get two slices of pizza, a coffee, and a Danish, and an ice cream. You think the ani cares what my kavana was? Who cares? The ani says, I don't care what you're thinking. You could be thinking that you want the New York Times to take a picture of your magnanimousness and put it on the front cover of the New York Times. What? The ani doesn't care what you're thinking. When it comes to Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, the ikur is the result, not the act. And when the ikur is the result, kavanah is irrelevant. You don't have to have kavanah. In fact, the Kli Chemda, in the end of Kli Chemda, in Kuntras Achron, he says, you know why you don't make a bracha Bein Adam L'Chaveroi? Because the purpose of a bracha is to supply kavanah. Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, you don't need kavanah because the ikur is not the act. Question. When you invite guests, is the ikur thing saying to the guest, I want you to come into my house, and then, oh, you got it? The ikur is the guy should have something to eat. So whether you were mechaving to mekayimus or you weren't, the guy's salami sandwich tastes exactly the same. And that's why you don't make a bracha ben adam lechaviro, because by ben adam lechaviro, the ikur is the result, not the maisa. Rabbi Sachs brought the following analogy. If someone eats matzah without any kavana, they don't get a mitzvah. But if someone eats kadshim, which is a mitzvah, without any kavana, you get a mitzvah. Why? Because by matzah, the mitzvah is to eat the matzah, is the act of eating. So if you don't have kavana, you're not making a mitzvah. By kadshim, the mitzvah is that it should... You know, there's no mitzvah you should eat it. The mitzvah is it needs to be eaten. It's the result. Whenever the result is the mitzvah, kavanah is not important. So, Rabbi Sachs suggested very nicely and very correctly that the same way by Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, if you don't have any kavanah when you're mekayim a mitzvah Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, you still get the mitzvah. Because your positive kavana is not necessary, because the ikar is the result. By Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, if you had negative kavana, it's also irrelevant because the kavana is only critical by Ben Adam Lamakam, where the matter at hand is the action and not the result. But when the matter at hand is the result, namely that your friend should have something to eat, the same way you don't need positive kavana, negative kavana doesn't hurt you. And therefore the Archaim HaKadosh is correct in saying, if you attempt to poison your friend and you gave him wine, you don't need any kapara, because in the realm of Bein Adam LaChaveroi, the Iker mitzvah or avera is the result and not in the intentions. Let me tell you over one more chiddush that I heard from Rabbi Sachs, and then I want to tell you over a small addition. Whenever Rabbi Akiva would come to the pasuk Isha Hafeirama Hashem Yisachla, he always cried. Apparently, Rabbi Akiva, he was, you know, a sensitive soul. He must have been prone to tears. After all, no other Tana, when they got up to this pasuk, cried. When they got up to the pasuk Isha Hafeirama Hashem Yisachla, and yet, in the famous story at the end of Makos, when Ram Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Yeshua, they were on the Temple Mount and they saw the foxes on the Temple Mount, they were the ones who were crying, and Rabbi Akiva, he's laughing. And Rabbi Akiva is saying, wow, if God is making the first part of the prophecy come to fruition, namely, Shualim Hilchubai, then we could be sure that the second part of the prophecy of Oid Yeshvu Zakenim Zakenis will come to fruition also. And Rabbi Akiva, in what everybody else saw as a tragic and sad moment, Rabbi Akiva laughed. He was mitzachek. So how do we reconcile these two reactions? When it comes to the pasuk of Isha HaFeirom Vashem Yisachla, Rabbi Akiva cried. And when it comes to the foxes dancing on the Temple Mount, Rabbi Akiva is laughing and smiling and besimcha. And Rabbi Sachs pointed out something very powerful. He said that Rabbi Akiva's reaction is the exact opposite of what of the way most people would react to a typical scenario. When difficulties happen in this world, when times are tough, when we see apparent injustice, and we see that the hashkacha in the world is not the way we think it should be, then all of a sudden, many people, most people, mankind, they're up in arms. Why is God doing that? How could He do that? Where's the justice? How is this fair? When most people would see foxes on the Temple Mount, they would mourn. It's a tragedy. Why is God doing this? Rabbi Akiva did not consider the actions of God tragic. Rabbi Akiva had enough faith in God to understand that the ways of God are just and are l'toiva, and ultimately the Ribbono Shel Olam knows what He's doing a lot better than we do, and everything He does is for our ultimate benefit. And on the other hand, most people, when it comes to their personal accountability, when it comes to their own actions and giving a din v'cheshbon for their own behavior and personality, then all of a sudden people are very understanding and accepting. Yeah, it's okay what I do. It's okay what I think. It's okay how I am. It's okay how I behave. Most people, when it comes to God, are very skeptical and question. And, oh, this is terrible. This is a bad thing. This is horrendous. Why is this happening? And when it comes to their own personal actions and the way they live their life, people are very, very understanding and accepting and have explanations and rationale. And Rabbi Akiva was the exact opposite. When it comes to the ways of God, to the Jewish tragedy and the Hashgacha Pratis, Rabbi Akiva was very understanding. Rabbi Akiva understood God has a plan. God has a architectural plans for the way the world will run. And even though it seems tragic, and there are shualim hilchabai, Rabbi Kiva understood ultimately, od yeshu zakenim zakenos. Rabbi Kiva, when it came to the ways of God, was very understanding. You know where Rabbi Kiva held? One should be skeptical and circumspect and questioning when it comes to yourself, when it comes to your own behavior, when it comes to your own actions and thoughts. You know what moves Rabbi Kiva to tears? The pasuk, Isha hafeira ma'ashem yisachla. What moves Rabbi Kiva to tears was the concept that the Ribbono Shel Olam holds us accountable not only for our actions, but for our intentions and our thoughts. And Rabbi Kiva is, so to speak, the dichotomy of Rabbi Kiva's behavior. Where he's understanding and offers justification, and where he is scrutinizing and holds accountable, we have to learn to hold ourselves accountable and be understanding with the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if I could add one humble idea. From where did Rabbi Akiva learn this great ability to look at tragedy and to look at the foxes on the Temple Mount and to look at Churban and to look at devastation and destruction and to laugh and to be besimcha and to say, okay, we understand, we're not happy that the Shualim are on the Temple Mount, but ultimately the Ribbono Shel Olam has a very happy and successful plan. You know where he learned it from? He learned it from Yosef HaTzadik. You know why he learned it from Yosef HaTzadik? Because even though we said in the beginning of the Shir that Yosef HaTzadik was the Gilgal, that Rabbi Akiva was the Gilgal of Shimon, because that is the opinion of the Zohar and the Arizal. That Rabbi Kiva was a Gilgal of Shimon, and therefore Rabbi Kiva cried, understanding that he is responsible for the Mechiras Yosef. But there is another opinion in the Mekubalim, namely the Shla HaKadosh brings that Rabbi Akiva was the Gilgal of Yosef. That's why Akiva is called Akiva ben Yosef. And there's a concept, Yosef is Echad. That's a remez. Rabbi Kiva died with Echad on his lips. And since Rabbi Kiva was a Gilgal of Yosef, who better than Yosef recognized that even what seems to be tragic and disastrous, being kidnapped from his father, taken away from the Jewish people, going to the most decrepit and degenerate society in the world. Yes, it seems tragic. Atem chashavtem alay l'ra, Elohim chashava l'toiva. That is the hashkafa of Yosef HaTzadik. Elohim chashava l'toiva. And therefore Rabbi Akiva, who is the Gilgal of Yosef, is able to say, even though it seems that the Shualim Bahar Abayis is Ra, Elohim Chashava L'toiva, Rabbi Akiva is able to be Mitzachek, that was the attitude of Yosef HaTzadik, Elohim Chashava L'toiva, Elohim Chashava L'toiva, even if Atem Chashavtem Alay Ra. So this is some things to think about regarding the episode of the Mechira, how on the one hand, Yosef HaTzadik is crying because he recognizes that there's accountability for bad thoughts. And that in a way is the Kav HaChomer that the brothers made, that if we're accountable for bad thoughts, imagine, Abba Kohen Bardola, imagine if we not only have bad thoughts, but bad actions as well. On the other hand, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says that Yosef was telling the brothers, don't sweat it, it's only bad thoughts. And we had a question, why would that be? Isn't a person accountable for bad thoughts? So we said either it's because they, in the end, they did something positive, or they thought they were doing a mitzvah, or Bein Adam L'Chaver, thoughts are not ma'akev. And then finally, Rabbi Akiva, who's able to see the good in everything, perhaps this was something that he gleaned from the attitude of Yosef HaTzadik. Thank you everybody for listening. I want to remind everyone, Be'ez Hashem, Thursday night at 9:30, there's a special Leil Nitl Nacht event on Shas Illuminated. Wishing everyone a wonderful day.
Shkoyach. Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
Right at the beginning, the Pasuk says, when Yosef sees the brother, he says, Ha'od Avichai.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.